Okay. Normally, before Slichos, we go through a single Torah thought that maybe helps frame the evening. Tonight, we're going to do something a little bit different. Maybe just talk about a few thoughts relating to tefillah in general. We all recognize that Slichos is more tefillah. And it's important to maybe realize that it's not just more tefillah, but it's meant to enhance all of the tefillah. It's meant to enhance every other tefillah that we have during the entire period, during the entire tekufa that we're going to be saying slichos. So maybe just a couple of thoughts to keep in mind about tefillah. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, that tells us that there are certain, Torah is the most powerful thing that we know of, that we have. But, there's a time for Torah and there's a time for tefillah. And tefillah can accomplish certain things that even Torah is unable to accomplish, and particularly in a time of the year that is dedicated to extra tefillah, it's worthwhile to think about how to enhance our tefillahs. The Zohar refers to these days not as the high holy days, not the days of awe, not the days of mercy, but as Yemei Tzilusa. These are days of tefillah. And there are times, I think when Rabbi Reisman Shlita said that he once asked Rav Moshe Feinstein, how much should they take away from Second Seder and Yeshiva when they're saying Tehillim for something, for a particular need. So he said, only as long as people could still focus on the Tehillim. So probably about a half hour. He thought he was going to say, probably about 30 seconds. But, but he asked him, he said, but it's going to take away a half hour from learning Torah. He said, there's a time for learning and there's a time for davening. And at this time of year is a time that we have to overemphasize the davening. Of course, we should not, let go of our grip on our learning, and we should try to enhance that as well. But it should be a particular time of focus on tefillah. I was just listening tonight. Rav Chaim Marcus gave a shiur, and he was talking about the power of tefillah. I'll share with you some of the things he said that I thought were very interesting and important. There's a famous Rashi in Parshas Toldos, where Rashi comments that even though both Yitzchak and Rivka were davening to be able to have a child, HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered the tefillah of Yitzchak and not the tefillah of Rivka. And Rashi comments, why dafka the tefillah of Yitzchak, not the tefillah of Rivka? So this troubling comment, because Yitzchak is a tzaddik ben tzaddik, and Hashem listens to the tefillah of a tzaddik ben tzaddik before he listens to the tefillah of a tzaddik ben rasha. That seems to really fly in the face of what the Gemara in Yuma tells us. The Gemara at the end of Yuma tells us that b'makom shebalei tshuva omdim ein tzaddikim gemurim yichalun lamud. It's better to be a bal tshuva than it is to be a tzaddik gemur. You're in a place that's closer to the Ribono Shel Olam, that the tefillos of a bal tshuva lechora should be stronger than the tefillos of a tzaddik ben tzaddik. So why is it that Kodesh Baruch Hu listens to the tefillos of Yitzchak? And I forget who Rabbi Marcus quoted, but he suggested a very interesting idea. He said, Yitzchak exists because of the power of tefillah. Meaning Yitzchak didn't just believe in tefillah. Rivka believed in tefillah. Yitzchak didn't just believe in tefillah. Yitzchak was a product of tefillah. He was the result of tefillah. Avram and Sarah couldn't have children by any natural means. It didn't make any sense that they'd be able to have children. And they davened and davened, and all he heard probably growing up was how he exists, or at least realized. He must realize, at parent-teacher conferences or whatever, when he goes to Mommy and Me, that all the other mommies were only about 22 years older than their kids, and his mommy was 90 years older than him. And that's an obvious open miracle. He realized that that he was the product of a miracle. And it's one thing to believe in tefillah, but it's another thing to live your entire life realizing that you're an example of tefillah. And that's, something I think we mentioned the last year in Shabbat Shuvah, that really that's true of all of us to a certain extent. That we're all here because of the tefillah of the avos, and none of them were really naturally able to have children. That should give us an appreciation of our own existence, but an appreciation of the existence of Klal Yisrael, that we all exist because of tefillah. There's a maisa that was told by Rav Chaim Kanievsky that was apparently passed down in his family. It's very interesting. Rav Aryeh Levine, Zichron Levracha, the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim, had certain mesoras in his family, some of which that started with him and just episodes that happened with him that he just shared with his children and grandchildren and didn't really make its way out of the family until they decided to release, you know, certain information, and some things that go back to Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that, you know, I was just talking to Rav Meir Goldberg this Shabbos about a particular inyan, and I'm not going to get into what the inyan is, and he suggested that the person who requires help go to a grandson of Rav Aryeh Levine in Eretz Yisrael, because they have a Masorah that goes back to Rav Chaim Volozhiner about how to deal with a particular situation. Just unbelievable that there still exists such a thing as like a Masorah kept within a family. So the story that was kept within the family until Rav Chaim Kanievsky thought it was worthy of sharing, and this I heard from Rav Chaim Marcus also, was that Rav Aryeh Levine went during the war years, during the years of the Second World War, Rav Aryeh Levine was in Eretz Yisrael, and the poverty in the Yishuv, in Yerushalayim at that time, was beyond words. I mean, people had nothing. They had no food. Rav Aryeh Levine always took the achrayus. He was called the Tzaddik of Yerushalayim for a reason. He took the achrayus of supporting and collecting money to feed families, because there were families that mamish, pshuta k'mashmo, had nothing to eat. It was coming up in Pesach time, and it wasn't that people couldn't afford matzahs. People couldn't afford anything. They didn't have a potato to eat. They didn't have anything. Children were going to be starving. And there was no money to be had. Rav Aryeh had nothing. He had no idea where it was going to come from. He had nothing. And it broke his heart. He couldn't help. He couldn't help these families. And he went one day to the Kotel, and he just cried for an hour straight. And the maaser that Rav Aryeh told his children, it's hard to believe, but if you know anything about Rav Aryeh Levine, not as hard to believe as you would imagine. The Maaseh told him, he cried his eyes out for an hour at the Kotel, turned around to walk away, an Arab man comes over to him and gives him a package. Nowadays, if an Arab man walks over to you, he gives you a package. I do not recommend accepting the package. But he took the package, the Arab man walks away, he opens it up, and it's money. That's it. It's whatever he needed to be able to support these families. That was a maaser that he told. Now, we don't have that. We don't have like this immediate, you know, you daven, you ask for something, and then, you know, there it comes. Part of the reason we don't have it, maybe because we don't really fully believe in the koach hatvila, or maybe we don't have the know-how of how to daven with a lev nishbar, with a broken heart, for other people. Meaning, he didn't come davening, Ribon Shalom, I'm going to starve. My children, it's... He came davening because people that he was supporting, people that relied on him, were going to starve, and with an absolute broken heart. Not, oh, my heart goes out to you, and then I'll get on with my life as you continue to suffer, and then every time I see you, my heart will go out to you again. Like, literally affected his existence. And he couldn't go on because people were suffering. That kind of broken heart that a tzaddik feels that Rav Aryeh Levine had at that time. And one more thing from Rabbi Marcus before we move on to other things. Rabbi Marcus pointed out that there's an incredible emphasis on the word uvechein in Yom Noraim Davin. Right? Uvechein tein pachtecha, uvechein. Where does uvechein come from? So in Tanakh, uvechein avo el ha-melech is Megillas Esther. That essentially what Esther says, and the Abadram points this out, is that Esther told Mordechai, listen, you guys fast for me, I'm going to fast for you, then I'll go to the king. And the idea was that if you want to go to the Melech, if you want to approach the Melech, it's much more effective if you're not just thinking about yourself. If you're thinking about everybody else around you, and they're thinking about you. And we constantly repeat, Uvechein on Yom Noraim, that's what we're trying to bring to mind, that we're approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu by davening for others and other people davening for us. Soloveitchik pointed out that's why we call a house of worship in Judaism a Beis HaKnesses. You may have heard a Beis HaKnesses. Right? We don't call it a Beis Tefillah, even though there are shuls called Beis Tefillah. We don't call it a Beis, that's not the traditional word, we call it a Beis HaKnesses. What's a Beis HaKnesses? It's a house of gathering. It's a house where the Jewish people come together. And we have the ability, because we come together, to affect proper tefillah. You know, Tosfos Masechet Rosh Hashanah asked the Kasha, the Gemara over there says that there are four different shittos about what exactly happens on Rosh Hashanah. Is it the only Yom HaDin? There's a shita of Rabbi Yossi, the Gemara says, that every single day is a Yom HaDin. A shita of Rabbi Nassan, every single moment is a moment of Din. And the Gemara says, you know, why is it that we say Tehillim nowadays, or that we daven for people who are struggling throughout the year? And the Gemara says, it must be we assume like Rabbi Yossi, that every day is a Yom HaDin. So asks Tosos, wait a second. According to the Rabbanan, that only Rosh Hashanah is a Yom HaDin? What, did Tosos not have, the Rabbanan not have Rifa'enu in their Siddur? Did they not have the Birch Hashanim in their Siddur? That it's only on the Yom HaDin? That it's worth davening because it's only then that things are decided? So it's a very fundamental kasha. There's an actual machlokas, and most of us are to ask you, you know, what day is Yom HaDin? Most of us would probably say, like the Rabbanan, that Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, even though it could be that we pass like Rabbi Yossi, that every day is Yom HaDin. It's not clear in the Lamaskana. But most of us probably assume like the Rabbanan that every day is, that only Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. So what are we davening for every day? If only Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin. And Tosfos says something remarkable. Tosfos gives two answers, but one of his answers is that there is only one Yom HaDin, and that is Rosh Hashanah. And that's when everything is decided. But a Tfilas HaRabim can overturn it. Not a Tfilas HaYachid. A Tfilas HaRabim has the ability to overturn any din. That's what the Gemara says in expression, Yafat Sa'aka Le'olam, Bein Kodim Gzar Din, Bein Liachar Gzar Din. The Gemara doesn't explain why. Why is it worthwhile to have Tsa'aka to cry out after a Gemar Din? So that's what Tosfos is Tosfos is explaining, that yeah, after Gzar Din, a Tfilas HaRabim. What does that mean, a Tfilas HaRabim? It means it's never worth davening when you don't have a minion? People daven when they don't have a minion. But the point is, every tefillah you say is not Rafa'eini, unless you're Hasidish, it's Rafa'einu. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's we're davening as a tefillah sarabim. That's the way we daven. That's the only way to have effective davening. I've pointed out in the past that very often, when we put our mindset to be to daven for other people, it makes us think about other people. It makes us think about what problems they might have, what issues they might have, and we point out just on a very natural level, very often we are the answer to those tefillos, or we possess the answer to those tefillos, or we have those tefillos that the person next to you who's crying about something, who's davening about something, or who maybe isn't, but should be, and doesn't know how to, because they never really connected to the Ribono Shel Olam in that way. But they need something. And very often we have that ability to help provide them with what it is that they need. So the koach hatfila, and particularly the koach tfila satzibur, is something that's incredibly powerful. We come to say vidui, and you know, it's very humbling, ashamnu bagadnu. But when we come as a tzibur to say vidui, we pointed out in the past, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, That in Chazar Hashatz, when the Vidui said it's a Hashem, and it's like a joyous tune. And he says that's because when you're coming as a tzibur, we have confidence. The tzibur never dies. The tzibur never loses. Klal Yisrael always lives. Klal Yisrael always survives. When we come as individuals, we're in trouble. When we come as a tzibur, when we come as a tefilas harabim, that's Eino Chozeres Rekam. That never gets turned away. We had a question-answer session last night in YU. I was in YU for Shabbos, and one of the boys asked, he said he's been davening for a long time with a lot of kavana, that his bakashos should be that the things he needs, the things he wants, refuah for people who are close to him, and parnasa, whatever it is, the things that he wants. I'm sure when he was younger it wasn't such mature things, but whatever, the things that he wants. So he said, "What? Like, what's the next step? Where do I take my tefillah from here?" It's a very mature question. Halavai, we should all think about what's the next step in my tefillah. Where do I take it from here? And Rabbi Penner handled that question, but I felt bad telling him. You know, if I would have answered it, I might have insulted him a little bit. He skipped a step. That's not what tefillah is. Tefillah is not, as we've said, it's not Amazon Prime. It's not, I want this, I want this, I want this. That happens to be part of what happens through tefillah. And that's what helps motivate tefillah. But what tefillah is a connection to Hashem, and that's the greatest gift in the world. That's the greatest experience a person can have. It's the most exhilarating experience. It's that you're talking to Hashem, that you have a relationship with Hashem. Elamai, sometimes I won't be motivated enough to have a serious conversation with the Ribbono Shel unless I have needs. And because of those needs, it brings me toward a serious conversation with the Ribbono Shel. But that's really the focus. When it comes to slichos, there's one more point of focus, and this is what I'll close with. One more point of important focus. We talk about coming in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, kedalim uchrashim, we're a kli male busho chlima, ashabnu bagadnu. There's a certain embarrassment in the way that we approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. Those who know me, all of you know me, you know that when I say embarrassment, I don't mean that we should be depressed. I don't mean that we should feel that it's not worth it. What we mean by embarrassment is that we're embarrassed by our averos. We understand that we haven't lived up to what we ought to be. At the same time, understanding that the Ribbono Shel Olam continues to give us the opportunity to do better and is pushing for us to do better because Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. But the koach of busha is a very, very powerful koach. There is a concept that I heard from Mariv Rabbi Rav Willig. I'm not sure where it comes from. It probably comes from Divrei Chazal somewhere. That a person who experiences genuine busha, bizyonos, busha, has a capacity of tefillah and of bracha that other people don't have. Rabbi Willig was saying that when someone once called him on the phone and was a woman yelling at him and berating him, and he said he was dancing. He was just dancing. Like, oh, Baruch Hashem, you know, this is the kind of bizyonos that I need. He said his kids walked in, they saw him dancing, like, what's going on? He's like pointing to the phone, you know. She's yelling like a lunatic, you know. And a person suffers bizyonos. I'll share a story. I'm going to leave out names because I don't have permission to share the name. But there was a young woman, a tzaddikas of a woman, who passed away a couple of years ago with a young family, mamash a tzaddikas of a woman. Her father suffered a particular bizayon through no fault of his own. Something happened that people assumed was his fault. It would be a much better story if I could share details. But something happened that people assumed was his fault. And he suffered bizyonos as a result of it. Someone came over to him a short while after and said, "Are you Rabbi so-and-so?" And he said, "Yes." And she said, "Well, I have a mesora that someone who suffers bizyonos has a koach habracha. My daughter is a single girl in her 30s, never been married before. Can you give a bracha that she should find the shidduch?" He said, "Okay, you know, if my bizyonos are good for this, okay." So he gave a bracha. Just last week was her chasana. Who did she marry? His son-in-law. His bizyonos enabled that this young lady is going to be raising his grandchildren. Is going to be providing his grandchildren with a stable home environment, a loving mother figure. A person who comes to the Ribbono Shel Olam with busha has a certain koach hatfilah. A lot of times we don't like to talk about busha because it's a negative emotion, generally speaking. But there's a reason why the halacha is that the posture during vidui is to be hunched over. Body language says a lot. It says, "Oh, we're embarrassed, Ribbono Shel Olam. We're coming again. Yeah, again, another year. And many of the same averos, hopefully not all the same, but many of the same averos." And there's a certain sense of busha in that. But that sense of busha brings with it a great koach. A koach habracha, but a bracha is really just a form of tefillah. A koach hatefillah. And we have to use that koach hatefillah not just for ourselves, for everyone around us, for Klal Yisrael. And Be'ez Hashem, that's what starts now with Slichos and the Ribbono Shel Olam. should listen to all of our tefillos and answer all of them l'tov.